Now, this experience is normally called the condition of liberation, the condition of moksha, mukti. So you find yourself liberated from the ego and desire when you enter into this luminosity which is immobile. But now, having understood these two important terms, vidya and avidya, the Upanishad says that those who pursue avidya, they enter into the path of darkness. But those who pursue the path of vidya, they enter into greater darkness. Very surprising statement. Then in the next verse it says that actually if you pursue avidya rightly and if you pursue vidya rightly, then this would not happen. So there is one way of pursuing vidya, there is another way of pursuing vidya. And that is indicating the next one. That if you pursue rightly avidya, then you cross over the death, and by vidya then gives you the enjoyment of immortality. Now this is a very important statement, so let us wait on it a little and try to understand what it means. During the last 2000 years in India, it has been prescribed that you should give up avidya and reverse yourself and go into vidya, and you will then be liberated and you'll be free from egoism, desire or limitation. This became extremely popular in India in the later period of the Upanishads, not the first part of the Upanishads. Isha Upanishad does not favor it, which is very clear. In the Upanishadic period, there were two periods, one earlier period of the Upanishads, the other was the later period of the Upanishads. The 12 famous Upanishads, particularly, are the products of the earlier period of the Upanishads. But then gradually there was a kind of a decline in the knowledge of the Upanishads, the kind of the knowledge that is given in this Isha Upanishad, for example. Now this was anticipated by the rishis of the old Upanishads. So they had already given a warning that it may tempt many people to make this reversal and enter into the immobility. And therefore it said that if you do so, you will go into greater darkness. It was a warning, as it were. Although ultimately, and even today, for example, this is the path which is very much favored. And people simply tell you, you just meditate, be quiet, and by entry into it, you will enter into liberation. There are many paths which are now prescribed among many yogis. Withdraw from everything. Do the minimum type of work, the call of the Himalayas, renunciation, renounce everything, and withdraw as much as possible, and by reversal you enter into the immobility. This is the proposition of Buddhism in different terms. The terms are different. It says that if you withdraw from everything, you enter not into immobility, but you enter into shunya, into nihil. In Jnana Marga, it is said that if you withdraw from all activities, all emotions, all sentiments, all relationships, withdraw from everything and meditate constantly on saying, I am not the ego, I am not the desire, I am not the body, I am not the life, I am not the mind, I am not this universe. I am Brahman, I am immobile. Constantly by meditating on this, you will be able to enter into immobility and you will be liberated. Sankhya also ultimately precises this very proposition. Withdraw from movements of Prakriti and enter into the immobility of luminous Purusha. This is the Sankhyan proposition. There are some other propositions also, but they are subordinate. They are not very prominently known. What is prominently known is this path at present. Mostly, when people talk of yoga, it is this that is meant. Against which Isha Upanishad gives a warning. The reason is, that the goal for which this body is assumed, why this whole trouble is taken, of evolving into the inconscient first and then coming out of it and all that, as I told you last time, the purpose is not to go back again as soon as possible. That was not the purpose. If the purpose was only to return back to the original silence, then this world would not have been created at all. There is a purpose why this has been done, and that is that in the embodied individual, the integrality, the totality is to be manifested. So if you withdraw from avidya straight into vidya, then you do not pass through multiple concentration of consciousness. And you do not have the possibility of entering into integrality of consciousness. You enter into another exclusive concentration of consciousness, which is of course vast, luminous, immobile, without the limitation of desire and ego. Quite true, very fine. But then you are forfeiting the possibility of multiple concentration of consciousness and ultimately entering into integrality of consciousness. Now, so long as you are in avidya, the possibility of entering into integrality of consciousness remains. But once you enter into that immobility, then that possibility goes away. You are stuck into it. Therefore, it is said you enter into greater darkness if you go into vidya. So, what is prescribed by the Isha Upanishad is a double movement. A movement in avidya in which you enlarge the field of your avidya. At present, our field is limited, in which we are exclusively concentrated. Develop multiple concentration of consciousness, enlarge your field. at the same time develop also the perception of the immobility. Double process, an integrality of the process. If you do this double process, then avidya will lead you to larger and larger fields, and you will understand the real purpose of desire, the real purpose of ego, the real purpose of limitation, the real purpose of death. And you will be able to use all these gradually as instruments of further progression. At present, death is regarded as a negation of life. But if you understand the real meaning as to why death occurs at all, if you examine the field of avidya much more closely, then you will understand that death is a process of life itself. It is not a process of negation of life, but death is a process of life itself.